The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Mishnah, in the beginning of the second perek of Masechet Ovos, Rabbi Eimer, this is the great Rabbi Yehuda Anoshi, who was the Masada, the organizer of the entire Mishnah. Rabbi said, Eizehu derech yishore sheiva leya odom. What is the upright path that a person should choose for himself? Kol shehi teferes le'eseha, a path, a derech, which is both honorable and beautiful for those who walk in it, for himself, v'teferes le'mino odom. Also, that is honorable and beautiful to people, to others. Rebbe Zohir b'mitzvah kala kebachamura, and one should be careful with a light mitzvah, the seemingly small mitzvah, just like with the great mitzvahs. Sheinato yadea manzchorin shel mitzvahs, because one does not know the real reward of mitzvahs. Be'avim mechashev have said mitzvah keneged schoro. And a person should always calculate that if he wants to do a mitzvah, but he has something else to do, which he can have some gain from, he must calculate the gain he will have from doing something else in comparison to the loss that he'll have from not doing the mitzvah. The same thing, if a person is tempted to do an avera, a transgression, and by doing this avera he will gain, he must calculate the gain he will have in comparison to the reward he will have by not doing the avera. Vihistakel, or punishment he will have from doing the avera. Vihistakel bishleshet vorim. Viato boli de avera. Dama lemalom yeko. And you should look, you should always look at three things, and then he will not come near to avera. These things are to look always above. Should know, ayin reya, there's an eye which watches, ve'ezin shumas, and an ear which listens, ve'chol ma'aseho b'sefer nichtovim, and all of your deeds are written in a sefer, are written in a book. Now, as we stand at the beginning of a new year, and also right before Yom Kippur, and there's always the question, which way should a person go? What is the right way? We have here the teachings of Rabbi Yehuda Anoshi, who was known as Rebbe, who gives us a broad general guideline. Eizeh HaDerech. And the Maral writes that he's not coming to direct a person or to instruct a person, biprotis, in individual acts. Rather, in a general, all-encompassing direction. And this is why it's at the beginning of a perek, at the beginning of a chapter. And this is also something which is very appropriate for Rebbe himself. Because Rebbe himself was an ish hakolel. He was an all-encompassing person. Besides being the leader of his entire generation, He was a leader of all of the generations because of his greatness. And he was the one who took the entire Mishnah. This is the entire Teir Shebaal Peh, the oral law, and codified it and organized it into what is known as the Mishnah. And he also was an individual where the Gemara writes that he was Zeicher to Torah Ugdula B'Mokem Echad. He was great in Torah. He was great in royalty. He was from the lineage of David HaMelech, of King David. And he was also very great in power and wealth. This was during the time of the Roman occupation. So therefore, he's giving us an overall direction. And let's learn this this evening to see the enlightenment which it gives one. Now first he starts with the Midas, with the Derech Eretz, that a person must choose the particular qualities, character traits for himself. Ezo Derech Yishorashi Yivaleodim. What is the upright path that a person should choose, one which is beautiful for himself and beautiful to those who see this? Then he goes on to have Yizoyer B'mitzvah Kala, direction in mitzvahs. And why does he start this way? Because our sages, our Chazal, tell us that Derech Eretz Kodma L'Teira. Derech Eretz, the conduct which a person should exercise in this world, was given to the world 26 generations before Torah was given to the world. The Hilchis Derech Eretz, how a person should act, the basic fundamentals of civilization, of common decency, of interaction and interrelations with people, this is known as Hilchis Derech Eretz. This was given to Adam HaRishon, to the first man. Torah was only given to Moshe 26 generations later. And why was this? Because Derech Eretz is what is known as the Chochma Tachtona. It is what the worldly and human wisdom dictates is the right path. Torah is the Chochma Elyona. That is the wisdom which the Torah dictates, which comes not from this world, but from very higher worlds. Torah was created almost 1,000 generations before the world was. And if a person wants to come to Torah, then first he has to lay the foundations of Derech Eretz and Midos Tovos. Because how can one come to the Chochma Elyona, to the highest wisdoms, to the wisdoms of the higher worlds, if he has not yet acquired the path of this world? So therefore first he instructs us on the Derech Eretz and Midos Shelo Odom. Then, only then does he go on to the mitzvahs. It's a note of interest that this past Shabbos, Shabbos Shuvah, yesterday, I gave a shiur in the yeshiva from the writing of a letter of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon was planning on going to Eretz Yisrael. This was in the 1700s. So he, and then his plan was that after he would settle, he would bring his family over. So he wrote a letter of instruction for his family. As it was, the trip was aborted. But the letter we have. And in the letter, a great part of it is on the emphasis of Derech Eretz and Midos Tovos, where he constantly instructs his family. He's speaking to his wife and his mother, and he's speaking to his sons and his daughters and his sons-in-laws and so forth. How important it is that in the home there must be harmony, there must be shalom, there must be peace, there must not be machlekes, and how one is obligated to train the children in all of this. And he dispels a myth which is popularly accepted many times. We say that the children will learn these things when they're older. And he says, no. Shlema Melech, King Solomon, thought otherwise. Chanei chanar al pidarkei ki oz ki yaskin lo yosu bimenu. The way you educate a child in his youth, that is the way he's going to carry on the rest of his years. And if you do not educate him in the right ways in his early youth, then you are educating him in the bad ways in his early youth. And this will be with him for the rest of his years. He says, don't listen to what people will tell you, that they'll learn this later. And therefore he says with the children, he says, you must, in general, he says, you have to be very soft with children, very loving with children. He says, when you teach them Torah, al takbir aleihem, do not teach them more than they're capable of learning. He writes, you shouldn't learn anything else with them. You shouldn't learn Mishnah, Gemara, until they've known the entire Chumash almost by heart. But when it comes to Midas Tobus, he says, when it comes that Machlekes, they're quarrelsome, or they speak Lashon Hora, or they curse, or they lie, these things, he says, this you have to be tough with them. This you have to instill in them from the earliest age, how to get along with people and how to live peacefully with people. Don't say these are things they'll learn later, because if they learn the wrong ways now, then this is what they'll carry with them the rest of their life. And to the contrary, he says, Chazal tell us that a young child is like a nut which is not mature yet. And it has a soft skin which is easy to penetrate. When a person grows older, he becomes like a nut which has matured, which has a shell which is very difficult to break. And the greatest emphasis of that letter is on the Midas and the Derech Eretz. And this is what Rebbe starts with. And what type of derech, what type of path should a person choose? He says, Ezo derech yishoro. Yishoro means something which is straight, which is upright. The Rambam writes, that in all of the midas, in all of the qualities that a person has, all of his personality makeup, the extremes are never good. Never. And if a person, and every woman has, is born with a particular nature, and through life he picks up other things, and if he finds that he's an extreme in any facet, then he must work on himself and train himself to bring himself to the middle point, to moderation. And he says, this is the derech hachachomim, this is the way of the wise, where they would walk b'memutza. This is the yoshor, this is upright. Anything that leans to the right or leans to the left, This is crooked. And he writes, this is what is known as the Derech Hashem. He quotes from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham, what I know Avraham will teach his children, Lishmo Derech Hashem, to guard the way of Hashem. And in all of the qualities that we try to emulate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mahu Chanun, Afato Chanun, He is good, He is merciful, you shall also be this way. He is compassionate. He does these things. He says these are all the Derech HaYoshor, the Mamutsa. This is the perfect balance that one must strive for. And this is what is known as Shleimus, as perfection. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Anossi says it must be a Derech HaYoshora. It must be a path which is balanced. It must be a path which is a teferes le'eseho ve teferes le'mina odom, which is beautiful to him and a beauty to the people who watch him. He mentions these two factors. Now for sure this must be something which is beautiful to the one who does it. But he is saying that this is not enough. Even if it's right in the eyes of the one who fulfills it, it has to be right also in the eyes of others. And it's obvious that just if it's just right in the eyes of others, that's also not good. Cannot do something which is wrong just because it looks good to others. And therefore, it must have both qualities, where it's right and honorable in your eyes, and it's right and honorable in the eyes of others who see it. And the sages and the Torah have cautioned us many times on this. For example, in Parshas Matos, Lamed Beis Chof Beis, it states, "Be'isim Nikim Me'Hashem U'Mi'Yisrael," that you should be upright in the eyes of Hashem and in the eyes of people. Mishlei, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, Umotzoso Chein V'Seichel Tov Ve'Einei Lekim V'Odom. Shlomo HaMelech writes there that you should find favor and goodness in the eyes of Hashem and in the eyes of man. And one cannot say, Ma'ich b'sli b'mashe yebru habriyas. What do I care what the people will say? If what I'm doing is right, what does this have to do with what people will say? Now, the Gemara is full, where we have prohibitions that we have to be careful. We have what is known b'pnei harayim, maris ayin, b'pnei hachashad, harchek atzmei min akiyur v'adeim elay. That when you do something, even if it's right, it has to also look right to people. You cannot look wrong to them. Or if you're doing something which is purely innocent, but it brings guilt upon you, then you have to be very careful, the Gemara says. That a person is not allowed to do something which can cast a bad shadow on himself. And there are many reasons for it. Different reasons depending on situations. Sometimes people will learn the wrong things from you. Sometimes it's brought, the Gemara brings, if he's a Talmid Chacham, we can come to Achil Hashem, where people will misread what is being done, and it can come to the desecration of Hashem's name. And that's why, in other places in Masechet Ovos, it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes the person that's Mesameach Es HaMokom U'Mesameach Es HaBriyos. He brings joy to he himself, to Hashem, but he also brings joy to the people. Or, for example, as it states, Ohuv. He's a person who's Ohuv, he's beloved to Hashem and beloved to the people. Or in another mission we have where it states, Mi sheruach habriyas neicha himeno, ruach hamokam neicha himeno. That someone that the people take delight in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also takes delight in. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says that it must have these two qualities. The quality where it's a tiferes to the person, and at the same time, a tiferes to the people, and he must find a balance in this. Otherwise, it's not the derech hayishora, the upright path that the Torah wants from us. This is something that we used to hear in the Telz Yeshiva very often. Fact is, the late Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Chaim Mordechai Katz, Zecher Tzadik Livronecha, used to coin a phrase in which he would say, Torah u mitzvahs b'kli mefu'ar. Person has to have Torah and mitzvahs, but it should be in a beautiful vessel. And he has to take responsibility for his actions, even if he's doing the right thing, in regards to what kind of reflection will make on other people. The great Mechaber, the great author of the Mesillas Yeshorim, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, he writes that if a person does a mitzvah, what can be wrong with a mitzvah? But he does it in such a way which it will cause other people to scoff at him or to laugh at him. And if it's a mitzvah he has to do, it's possible for him to do it in a different way. Or if it's not a mitzvah but a hidur or a chumrah, he writes, if it's not a mitzvah but it's something extra he's doing, so really then it would be possible for him to abstain and not to do it at all. And he still does it in front of people who, because of their particular situation, their lack of understanding or whatever it might be, he causes them to laugh or to scoff, then he is responsible for being geirim chaverei, causing his fellow man to sin. Because he should have been more careful not to do the mitzvah then, or to do it in such a way where it wouldn't cause that. So therefore, it's not enough where a person says, I have to do what's right, and the blazes with what people think. Therefore, Rebbe writes, "Kol she teferes la'eseha, v'teferes lei min ha'odom." Now he comes to the next phase. Behevi zoher, b'mitzvah kalak b'chamur. Be careful even with what is seemingly a small mitzvah, just like you are careful with what you think is a great mitzvah. Because one really doesn't know the great reward of the mitzvahs, which one is going to bring more reward than the other. Here he starts to instruct the person on mitzvahs after he's instructed him on their heretz and midos. And here again, his approach, I'm quoting much of this from the Mahomi Prag, his approach is a derech klal. Rebbe was this all-encompassing individual. He didn't like people that would choose mitzvahs. The Torah is not 613 points. Rather, it stated Torah temima. Teres Hashem temima. Mishivos nefesh. The Torah is one. Represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is one. We must not select mitzvahs and overemphasize certain mitzvahs and either neglect or underemphasize other mitzvahs. But the approach to Torah must be a person must try to fulfill to the best of his ability all mitzvahs. And therefore, he shouldn't say, this is important, I'll do it, this is a mitzvah chamura, this is not so important, I will neglect it. Here again, the Baral mentions, he says, there are many, many mitzvahs that are kal be'enei ha'odom. People look at them as very light mitzvahs, and they happen to be very, very great and serious mitzvahs, and they bring a wealth of reward. In our generation, and it was in the generation of the Chofetz Chaim, Zichrei Levracha, which motivated him to write many, many sforim and many kuntresim on mitzvahs which were neglected by people, underemphasized by people. And he would bring untold sources to show just that they were not mitzvahs kales, they were mitzvah chamures. And for example, and even in, I mean, this is certainly exists in our generation, when it comes to Lashon Hara, when it comes to Rechilus, when it comes to Machlekes, when it comes to Redifas HaSholom, tale-bearing, bringing information from one to another that is insightful, that will cause Machlekes. We look at this is something which is nice to do, nice to abstain from. The Rambam says, this is Kishefech Domim, Heirig Nefoshes Rabbis Be Israel. This is equated to the spilling of blood. This causes the death of many people in Israel. Einoz Dvorim. To hurt people with words. We'll say, look, you know, you shouldn't hit someone. But these are only words. When it comes to Machlekes and Redifas HaSholom, the Medrash tells us that even when Klal Yisrael was Eber Aveir Zorah, were idolaters, but since there was Sholem B'nehem, they lived peacefully together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was unable to bring them to judgment. Only when they started with dissension, and they started to fight amongst each other, then was HaKadosh Baruch Hu able to bring punishment to them. And so on. And here again, I would just like to mention from the letter of the Vilna Gaon, which we just mentioned a few minutes ago. One would think someone of his stature, and his stature was... Firstly, he lived in the 1700s, so we're speaking about over 250 years ago. And this was a generation of giants, and he lived in Vilna. Vilna was known as Yerushalayim the Little. But aside from all of that, everyone, without exception, has written on the Gaon that he really should have lived 1,000 years before in the time of the Rishonim. One would think that if he's leaving his home for, and it could be a matter of a year or 2 years, and he wants to instruct his family, well, he would instruct them on inyanei kashrus. They should be careful what kind of meat they should buy. They should be careful to inspect all of their vegetables. They should buy a good lulav. Make sure to hear the shofar, buy the best tefillin. They should check all the mezuzahs constantly. When Pesach comes, they have to be very careful what kind of matzahs they're eating and how they should bake the matzahs. This is what you would expect. There's not an emes, not one letter, one os, in which he mentions any of those things at all. And this is what we would place emphasis on. And his whole emphasis, basically, is on the conduct in the house that there should be shalom, there should be peace, there should be machlekes. Educate the children in Lashon Hara. Educate them in what they, how they speak. Teach them how they should listen to their mother and listen to their grandmother. And he says, and teach them that they should give honor lechol hagodol bishonim, whoever is older than them. Teach them that they have to give him honor. And so forth and so on. This is the basis of the letter. So this is what Rebbe is saying. That when we approach Torah, all mitzvahs are important. And we cannot neglect many mitzvahs because for some reason we seem to be attracted to others. Then he is telling us, Shenato Yedea Matan Shkoren Shul Mitzvahs, he mentions reward. As if the reward is what will draw us to the mitzvahs. And this is very important. The Ramban writes at the end of Parshas Bo that the foundation of faith for a Jew is to realize what it states in the Torah, that today I have placed before you life and death, good and evil. And that is that if you will fulfill the mitzvahs, then you will have unending reward. If you will not fulfill my mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then heaven forbid, it'll be to the contrary. And the reward is in this world and in the next world. Therefore, he writes the Ramban that a Jew must always be cognizant of that. That kol hatzlochas b'nei odom, the success of a person in the world, is dependent on walking in the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore, Rebbe here tells us, every mitzvah has great reward. And this is what the sages say. The reward of a mitzvah is so great as Yofer Kedus Ruach Shel Elam Habo Mikol Chai Elam Hazeh. That even the smallest fragrance in the next world is a greater pleasure than all of the pleasures of this world from the time of creation till the time of end of days. And therefore, we must place this before our eyes all of the time. And the Maral asks here, but is it not true that we have another Mishnah that states, Al tia ke avodim amesham shine sarav al manas lekabel pras, that you shouldn't be like a servant that serves his master only for reward. Ella, almanash leila kabel pras. You should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu even without any calculations of reward. So he says, very interesting answer. He says, that's for sure. But firstly, we mentioned that Rebbe is speaking with a broad perspective. He's speaking to everyone. And he's speaking to the individual for all times. That level of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not with the calculation of receiving reward, that's the level that the sages say is avod mehava, to serve from love. And that, the sages tell us, and the Rambam enumerates, not everyone can come to that level. Only the greatest of the tzaddikim and the chassidim, the greatest of the generation, would come to that level. And then the Maral writes, and even those that would come to that level, But there were many times when the avoda, the serving of Hashem, became so heavy on them that they also had to constantly remind themselves of what reward is waiting for them in the next world. And sometimes the test was so difficult that the only way they could withstand the enormous opposition of the Yetzer Hara was to remind themselves that every mitzvah brings enormous reward. And it was through this that they were able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. They were able to refresh their energies to go on to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Parshas Vayechi, Pasuk Yudalet, Perek Mem Tes, Yaakov, before his death, is blessing all of his sons. So he says, Yisachar Chamor Gorem. Yisachar, you are like a very, very strong donkey. The donkey was the pack animal. He could carry a greater load than any other animal. In Revetz Beinam is Pesoim, every animal you have to take good care of. At night, you've got to find them a good place in the barn, a warm barn, with a lot of straw and hay, and make sure he has what to eat, and he's sheltered from the rain. And if not, he'll get sick. The donkey is not like that. The donkey carries on during the sunshine, during the rain, during the snow. Doesn't bother him. And at night, the drivers would leave him right alongside of the road. And then the next morning he would carry on. And this was Yisachar. Why was this Yisachar? Because Yisachar, they had the quality of Torah. And they had to carry the heavy ol, the heavy yoke, the burden of Torah for Klal Yisrael. And that by day and by night. And that's in the winter and the summer. And that's in the rain and in the sunshine. So this is what Yaakov told Yisachar. Then it states, Vayar menucha ki tov v'sa'oretz ki no'emo. He says that you will see that ultimately your rest will be good and you will have beautiful land. Vayet shich malizbol vayhilamas eved. And he puts his shoulder to the burden and he carries. And he is the one that the whole nation constantly come to all of the time, day and night, with all of the questions and for the instruction and so forth. And the Chofetz Chaim asks, what's the second pasuk have to do with the first? Bayar menucha ki tov. And he gives an example. He says there was a man, a merchant, a wealthy merchant, and he went on a long business trip into Russia. He went to buy jewelry. He was there a long time and he bought what he needed. And when he traveled first class, he stayed in the best hotels. Now he was ready to go back. The night before he was leaving, a knock at the door, a man comes in and says, I have something to show you. And he had some very rare pearls to show him. He showed it to him and he couldn't stop looking at them. He says, I've never seen such beautiful pearls in my life. How much do you want for them? He wanted a lot of money, but it was a fair price. And the man made a calculation that he didn't have the money. It was the end of the trip. He had spent all his money. He only had enough money for traveling fare all the way back. Then he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I can't let an opportunity like this go. He says, I'll buy them. And on the way back, I'll make an etzah somehow how to get back on the little money I have left. He started his journey back. He had to stay in the cheapest hotels, the worst rooms. He had to travel lowest class. It was very, very difficult for him. And at times he would get depressed. And then he would take out the beautiful pearls and he would look at them. And this would give him a new energy to go further. So the Chofetz Chaim said, this is what Yaakov was telling Yisachar. Your burden, the burden of Torah, is enormously heavy. But every once in a while, look at the reward that it will bring you eventually. And then you will be able to put your shoulder to the burden where you can serve the entire nation. So this is what Rebbe is telling us. Don't underestimate the reward of each mitzvah and of any mitzvah. And he's speaking to everyone, even those that serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'avo, from love, because there'll be a time when even they will need this. And then he says, You must calculate the loss of this mitzvah. How does it compare to what you will gain by not doing the mitzvah? Or the reward of this aveira, how does it compare to what you're losing by doing the aveira? Now, before he was speaking about when we do not want to do mitzvahs because we feel they're not that important, or it's a mitzvah color, it's a light mitzvah, we'll neglect these. Now he's speaking about someone who wants to do mitzvahs, but there's the power of the Yetzer Hara that stands up against him. And never underestimate the Keach HaYetzer. Never underestimate the force of the Satan of the Yetzer Hara. And he comes with all kinds of weapons against the person. And when a person wants to fulfill a mitzvah, he will come with a weapon telling the person that if you do not fulfill this mitzvah but you do something else instead, you will have far greater gain. For example, a person has a shiur, has a chavrusa, or he can sit down and learn, but I can do something else with that time. I can make some money during that time. Instead of going to shul and daven with a minyan, I could get to the business earlier. Or whatever it might be, instead of fulfilling the mitzvah of kibur avim, of visiting a parent, I could do something in the business, or I can have some relaxation myself. Or why should I give so much stocker? Look what I can do with the money. Now these are great great tests and great temptations that we are confronted with every day. And how do we deal with them? Rabbi Yehuda Nosi is telling us a very profound way on how to deal with it. He says, deal with it in a business fashion. Calculate. to give tzedakah is going to cost you so much money. So if you don't give the tzedakah, you'll have that much money. But on the other hand, if you do give it, what will be your reward? Once you calculate it in that fashion, you have broken the back of the Yetzer Hara. You give R100 or R1,000 or whatever it might be. If you don't give it, this is what you've gained. If you do give it, you will have endless and endless and endless reward the Gemara brings. Atstoka tatzl mimogas. Gemara brings in Baba Basra and Binyamin Atzadik, where a woman came and she said, he was in charge of the coop of the fund. Panaseini, give me panoso. We do not have what to eat, she and her children. And he said, the fund is empty. And she said, if you do not give us what to eat, she and all of her children will die. So he went and he took his own money. And he gave her. Not long afterwards, he became sick and he was dying. And the angels came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Binyamin HaTzadik, that sustained a woman and her children, he's going to die as a young man. Hosifu lei chov beishonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him 22 extra years of life. Now when you make a calculation like that, what does the Yetzer Hara have to say? Well, if a person makes a calculation, that I'll keep open on Shabbos because I can make more money, make a calculation of what will be your reward if you close on Shabbos. And now compare the two. And this way you will break the back of the Yetzer Hara. The same thing when it comes to an Aveira. That many times, all of the time, we are constantly tested and tested to do things that we're not supposed to do. And we will have benefit from it. Some benefit we'll have. If it's a material benefit, a physical pleasure, whatever it might be. Calculate the benefit that you'll have from doing the Aveira. And what benefits you'll have from the mitzvah, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you will not do the Avira. And it states that even a keras ruach, a fragrance in the next world, the reward for a mitzvah, even the fragrance of the reward, is greater than all of the benefits that this world can give you. If you use this calculation, this totally demolishes the Yetzer Hara. And this is the Eitzah, this is the profound Eitzah that Rebbe Yehuda Anossi is giving us. I once read a story. There was a great individual who lived in the last generation in America. His name was Irving Bunim. He was from the early pioneer lay leaders of American Torah Jewry. Helped to build many yeshivas and so forth. And he was a businessman. He was a very big businessman. And I believe he was in fabrics or textiles. And they write the story on him. That one day his bookkeeper told him that they had received a large shipment of goods from another company, from a mill, and they've never sent him an account for it. And it was an account of $50,000, which even today $50,000 is a lot of money. But this, we're talking here 40, 50 years ago. So this was an enormous sum. So he told them, make a query. Call the company, contact them and find out what's going on. Call the company and the company said, you paid the account. So he came and told him that again. So he said, look, an amount like that. He says, looks through the books good. The bookkeeper looks through the books, and this and that comes up that they never paid the account. Meanwhile, here he's got $50,000 worth of goods. This could be, we're talking in millions and millions. And it was a Goyish company. It was a non-Jewish company. And the company was satisfied. They said, look, this account has been paid. You paid it. And he was in a dilemma what to do. And no doubt he had to do a lot of battling with his Yetzer Hara. He decides, the Rambam says, that if you return money to a non-Jew, the Kadesh Shem Shemayim, to sanctify the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaRezem of Shubach, this is a great mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So he decided he's going to return the money. If I recall correctly, I think he might have taken his son along with him. At any rate, he called the president of the company and says, I want to make an appointment with you. And he says, I'd like your bookkeeper to be present. And he takes along his bookkeeper. And he dressed up in Big Day Shabbos in his best clothing, because he told his family, I'm going to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem today. He went to the office, to the person's office, and he said, look, this account. You told me it's been paid. Check it again. Called the bookkeeper in and so forth and so on. It's paid. So he told him, it has not been paid. We have never paid it. And here's a check for it. And he explained to him why he's returning it to him. There's no doubt, or let's put it this way, there's little doubt, that Rebbe's calculation helped him in this mitzvah. That when you weigh, here he had a chance to get $50,000, that might be 20 million rand, 30 million rand today. But on the other hand, he had a chance to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, which could be worth a thousandfold of that. And this gave him the strength to fulfill this mitzvah. Then Rebbe tells us Bishtakol Bishleshet Dvorim Biyato Boli De Aveiro. Always look at three things which are above you, and then you will not come to Aveira. Now, what is he adding here? So the Maral says, in the instruction right before, there he was telling the person what to do at the time when he's being tempted or tested or whatever it might be. But now he's saying something even greater. He says, if you'll always be cognizant of three things which are above you, then ein ato bo lidei aveira, you will not even come close to aveira. You won't find yourself in the dilemma of what to do. And what are the three things which are above you? Ein Reah, an eye which always sees, the Ozen Shomas, an ear which always hears, the Chol Maasecha B'Sefer Nichtovim, and all of your acts are written in the book. What is he telling us? These are three levels. Much of the world believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know what's going on here, and that he says Ein Reah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows very, very well exactly what's going on here. He sees. Then we could say that even if he knows what's going on here, but he doesn't take too much heed to it. And that he said, Ozen Shomas. Not only does he know what's going on, you can see even inadvertently, but to actually hear, you have to pay attention. He pays heed and he pays attention to everything which is going on here. Ozen Shamas, he hears. Even if we say that he knows and he sees and he hears, so what? No, b'chol ma'asecho b'sefer nichtovim. He makes cheshbonos. He makes calculations for each individual, like a shopkeeper keeps exact accounts for every customer to know what they owe him and what he owes them. So does HaKadosh Baruch Hu keep exact accounts for every person, but he knows what he owes them and they owe him, and he writes it down in a sefer. Now, when we say that people do not realize this, you take your evolutionists. This is your most popular scientific theory, it would seem. They don't believe there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all. They believe the world. I don't know, the world came from Facebook. It comes from Iraq, it comes from who knows where it comes from, a germ or what. Here we're speaking, what Rebbe is speaking about, responsibility and accountability. We are responsible and accountable for everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The evolutionists, or the world in general. We're not responsible for anything. We're not accountable to anyone. Accountable only to ourselves. This is why there is so much hefkeres. This is why the world is lawless. People are not responsible. The governments are not responsible. They're not accountable. No one is accountable. So why do we have to worry about what we do? Rebbe says, Yistachu b'gimel dvorim. If you'll always be aware of three things, you will know that you're accountable for everything. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees and he pays heed and attention to what's going on, and he makes calculations for every individual. And then you will not come near chet. Now this that he writes, that Rebbe says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol ma'asecho b'sefer nichtovim, everything is written down. The Maral makes the observation here, from one aspect, this casts a fear in a person. Everything I do is going to be written down there. Who knows what's written down? But from the other aspect, this shows how important an individual is. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Sefer Torah. We know that he wrote Moshe's name in the Sefer Torah. He wrote about Abraham, about Yitzchak, about Yaakov. But what's he bothering writing about us, about every individual? He's got time to write up there, kol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtovim, everything I do, everything you do. He's got nothing else to do except write up there. This is something to think about. He says that when someone does a mitzvah, he is holding up creation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes it down. And when the Rishoyim do Averas, they are destroying creation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes it down. And this is what the Gemara says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, and after Zayin Amud Beis, Gimel Sforim Niftochim B'Rosh Hashanah. That on Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings out three books and opens them up. It's the Sifrei Tzadikim,
the book where he writes down every act of the righteous because it's so dear to him, because they are helping him build the creation, and they are helping him bring his name into the world. And the Sifrei Rishoyim, the Sefer Rishoyim. And then he has the Sefer of the Rishoyim, where he writes down their acts, and all of their acts will not go unanswered. They're accountable because they have destroyed the world and they are destroying his name. And then the Sefer Beinanim of those in the middle who are not tzaddikim or nor rishoyim also are written down. Each one adds a different dimension to the world. So this is what the Rebbe says, but even better, rather than to wait when you're in the throes or the dilemma of the test of what to do, if a person is constantly cognizant of Mashal Abalami Mecho, of what's above you, these three things, then Enato Boli De Avera, you will not come close to Avera at all. And this is what the great Rabbi Yechiman Zakkai said when he was dying. And his Talmidim came to him. And the Talmidim said, Berachnu, give us a brocha, Rebbe. This is a Gemara in Brochas, Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis. So he gave them a brocha, Yirotzin Shiyameire Shomayim Aleichem, Kimeire Bosev Adom. May it be his will that you will have the fear of heaven upon you, like you have the fear from people upon you. And they said, Ad kan, that's all. We should fear Hashem like we fear people. He says, Halavai. Halavai you should. Teidu kisho odum eisa avera imeshlo yirani odum. A person does an avera, he looks around to see that nobody's watching him. Halavai, he said, you should always have the fear of Hashem like you have of people. That just like you are cognizant that if there are people around, there's an eye that sees and there's an ear that hears, and you might have to answer to them, be this cognizant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there is an eye that sees and an ear that hears, and we are accountable. And this also is a great counsel against the Yetzer Hara, which constantly drives the person in the wrong direction. So these are the instructions from Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, an overall direction, an overall approach to life. Ezel derech yishoreh she'iva leo odom. What is the path? An upright path, a straight path, not to the right or to the left, which the person should choose for himself, called Shiteferes La'eseho, one which is beautiful and honor to himself, but also Tiferes Lemina Odom, which is beautiful and honorable to people. And this is in regards to the Derech Eretz and the Midas, how to get along with people in this world. Now we can go to mitzvahs. And the mitzvahs of the Torah are not individual, isolated mitzvahs. It is one Torah. And therefore, do not say this is important, this is unimportant. Be careful with all mitzvahs, and always be cognizant of the great reward which awaits us. Those who fulfill mitzvahs, we do not know just how great this reward is. And when we are under the enormous pressure of the times, of the temptations, of the Yetzer Horas and the tests, then make a business calculation. You think that you will gain by not doing the mitzvah. Calculate the gain this will bring you and the gain the mitzvah will bring you. You think you will gain by doing the Aveira. Calculate what you'll have if you do the Aveira and what you will have if you do not do the Aveira. And then we stakel b'shleshet vorem v'yatoboli de Aveira dam alamala mimekro. If you'll be cognizant of what is above you, the three things which is above you, then you will not even come close to Aveira. And that's that Ein Rea HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees whatever we do. The Eizen Shamas, and he takes heed to whatever we do. V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtovim. And the acts of the human being, the human individual, is so important that HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes down these acts of each individual. And therefore we are accountable. And he is accountable to us. He writes down what we owe him and what he owes us. The acts of the Rishoyim, they destroy his world. He writes it down. And the acts of the Tzaddikim, of those who fulfill the mitzvahs, they build his world. He writes it down. If we are cognizant of this, then we will not come close to Aveira. This is the great instruction from Rabbi Yehuda Anossi. We should all be zeicher to learn from this and be able to walk in a derech yeshora, in an upright path, which is a tiferes for us and a tiferes for others. And we should all be zeicher to a gemar chasima tova. Kodesh Baruch Hu should give to us in Kol Beis Yisrael a year of Chaim and Shalom.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.